If you've got your Bibles, you could turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and Acts 2. We'll be in both spots this morning. And so, one of the things as throughout the week on Wednesdays, I spend most of my morning hanging out with Pastor Jamie and Pastor Paul, just having conversations about future and dreaming and talking and discussing and all these different things. And in those conversations lately, as we talk about people that are new to Life Community, just started attending, you know, the last few weeks, last few months, Pastor Jamie has shared with us that oftentimes when he says, hey, what do you guys think about the church? What are your thoughts? What are your processing? All these kind of different things. They say, man, Pastor Jamie, it feels like home. This place feels like home. And there's many reasons. As I've looked back to the last 7 months of being here, taking notes and processing and all this different kind of things as we get ready to make disciples in 2016, there's many reasons why this place feels like home. But one of those reasons, and some of you will be familiar with this word, it's a word that if you've been in church at any length at all, you understand this word. But one of the reasons is we don't use this word here at All Life Community, membership. You'll never hear that word here. We use a word like this one here, family. Two completely different things. Membership, you can sign up, take a class, fill out a bunch of stuff, sit down in a seat, and never do anything again. Membership, you can take that contract, throw it away, leave it, say goodbye, adios, never again. Family, you know this, right? You can't do that. I mean, it would be nice every once in a while. Son, I love you, but I'm tired of you. We got to move on here, buddy. You know what I mean? It'd be awesome, but we don't do that. We stick together when it's difficult, when it's hard, when it's not easy. We're family, bottom line. No matter what your story looks like, no matter what you've been through, no matter what we've got to get through, we're family. And it's because of family, right, that people walk into this place and they say, man, this feels like home. This feels like home. There's a couple of things that I noticed that LCCers, that would be you, do. And there, I could create a whole list of what LCCers do that make us family, but let me just share what I think are probably the most three important things. The first one being this, LCCers gather consistently. Weekends, very important to us. Coming together, worshiping Christ together, celebrating Christ together, celebrating what God's doing in your story, as you just heard Pastor Jamie doing, band playing, incredible band playing, great message, inspiring us, moving us further. What we do on the weekends are very important, very, very important. LCCers consistently gather. Not only do they consistently gather, but they sacrificially give. The last 7 months that I've been here, I've seen people over and over and over again give of their time, give of their talent, and give of their treasure. Just blows my mind, actually. I'm like, really? This, and most, as people outside of LCC have said to me, what do you think about that church? I'm like, I cannot believe the people in this church. Unbelievable. The way they just give all the time. Unbelievable. Last but not least, and not that this has always been organized and structured, and you're going to see that as we move forward, but they get in the group. I mean, almost two or three times a week, I'm invited to go somewhere to eat. I'm invited to come hang out here or go do this or this birthday party or that birthday party. And there's a value here of us getting together already outside of church, knowing each other, understanding each other, all these kind of things. I mean, this is what makes us family. This is the reason why people walk in and they say, Pastor Jamie, this feels like home. Hey, listen, if you're brand new here, we are so glad that you're here. And you belong here. You belong here. No matter what your story is, period, you belong here. There is a place here, a life community for you. Let me pray for us, and then we'll actually get to the sermon. That was just the beginning part. That wasn't even on my notes. And Lord, we thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity you've given us to get together. And today, as it has been already, God, we are here to just bring you glory and honor. And we pray those, God, that are seeking, God, wondering, God, I pray today that they would see you and be interested leaning into you. And God, those of us, God, that need encouragement, that have been here, I pray that we are inspired, God, to go further with you. And it's your awesome name we pray in. Amen. Well, believe it or not, we are 24 days into this brand new year. 24 days of January Hate to tell you this, gone. Never going to get it back, right? History. And I am sure, right, 24 days ago, that some of you, not all of you, but some of you at some point processed through what we call New Year's resolutions, right? Some of you even went to the extreme of blocking out an hour of your schedule, making sure that nobody bothered you, went to your place of whatever, desk, took a piece of paper and a pen, and began to write out who you want to be in 2016. Right? Some of you are like, I don't think so. And then others of you, right, unless you didn't write it out, but as you were driving, as you were processing, as you were thinking, man, I'd like to see this happen in my finances this year. I'd like to go here this year. I'd like to do this with my son this year. I'd like to this to happen with my marriage this year. Anybody in here really into New Year's resolutions? Come on. No? Oh, man, I tell you, this must be something with this church. Thank you, Amy. Thank you. That's about all we had last night. Now, the funny part is her dad last night said, absolutely not. And she this morning says, absolutely yes. How many of you, now everybody should be raising their hands, not like, no way, done that, bought the t-shirt, not happened, not interested. Yeah, I would say that probably majority of us would say, I'm not interested in doing New Year's resolutions. And I think that there is a big reason for that. And I think by the time we get done having this conversation this morning, that you might be way more interested in New Year's resolutions. Because New Year's resolutions, you know what they do? They let us down. They disappoint us. We feel like we can't get past February 1st. And there's a reason for that. I think that there's a reason for that. And I think that the Bible actually talks about how Christ wants us to move forward. And sometimes we don't want to use everything that Christ has for us. So then we get frustrated. And we say to ourselves, nah, I don't think so. I'm done. It's over. I'm not interested. Right? So what if? What if you actually could follow through with that list? What if you could actually follow through with that trip? What might happen to your family? What might happen to your marriage? What might happen to the relationships you have with your coworkers? Hey, what might happen to that conviction that you had that led you to even think that you could be different or do something different? What might happen if you didn't throw in the towel on that conviction? What might happen if you didn't throw in the towel on that commitment that you had to even process or even write down? I mean, what might happen, right? If we were able to actually stick with that conviction, stick with that commitment and move forward. Some New Year's resolutions, like, they're not a big deal, right? It's like, hey, listen, and make a great selfie picture, put it on Facebook. Everybody, I'd get a million hits. It'd be awesome. Everybody would like me. Cool. It'd be wonderful, right? They're a bucket list and would be awesome to do. But then some New Year's resolutions, let's be honest, they would change everything. Your wife would look at you differently if you would get a haircut. No, I'm just kidding. Your husband would look at you differently. I mean, seriously. I mean, there's that thing that we wish we could adjust or change that we've given to God over and 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 over again. And it just doesn't seem like we can get past February 1st. And what happens if we could get past February 1st? We have this conviction. It's driven us to be committed. But sometimes it feels like conviction and commitment, it's not enough. And we sense that we lose those things and we sense this conviction again and then we get committed again and then again a month later. And then we sense the conviction again and we get committed again and then a month later, here we are again. And it's like a broken record, isn't it? And we could go back to 2015 and we could go back to 2013 and we could go back to 2012 and we could create the exact same list over and over and over and over again. And it's sometimes we just want to say, you know what? Forget it. I'm not interested. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. Hey, listen, if you're anything like me, which you might not be, but I'm sure that what is true about me is also true about you. You've tried to conquer a bad habit. You've tried to start a healthy habit. You've come to the conclusion that commitment and conviction, not enough. We have this idea that if we have enough conviction and enough commitment, that's all we need to break an old habit and a new habit. But your experience and my experience, your story and my story would prove us to be wrong. I mean, it totally shows us that commitment and conviction, strong commitment, deep conviction, they're not enough. I mean, why in the world do we break a promise that we have made to ourselves, about ourselves, to benefit ourselves? Commitment, conviction, they're not enough. And they will never, ever be enough. So this morning, I want to talk about the third word. I want to talk about the third leg, the leg that'll keep us standing, the leg that actually literally keeps the stool standing. Commitment, conviction, you need. But there's one leg that is difficult, it's hard, it's painful at some points. We're not interested in it all times. We kind of get scared when people bring it up, all that kind of stuff. But we need it. If we're going to stand the way Christ wants us to stand, this third leg is extremely important to us moving forward in Christ. We need to make this happen. And the third component is this: connection. Connection. Commitment, right? Not enough. Not enough. Conviction, not enough. Connection. Listen, we need to be connected. Connection is extremely important. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 reads this way: "See to it, brothers and sisters," and let me stop there. See to it. So he's going to ask us to do something. And who's the audience that he's speaking to? Brothers and sisters. So that would mean he's speaking directly to people that have made a decision to be followers of Jesus Christ. They've paid in, they've bought in, not paid in, bought into this idea that God has sent his son to this earth, died on a cross to forgive us of our sins, and they're leaning heavy into them. Now, listen. If that's not you this morning, and you're new here, and this is like a new thing for you, and you're kind of like, I'm cautious about that stuff, totally cool, right? And guess what? You're off the hook this morning. You get to sit back, relax, and just listen. And we hope, right, that you enjoy, and in the process of listening, that you might do as we did some of us weeks ago, some of us months ago, some of us years ago. Lean into Jesus Christ. So let's continue on. It says this, verse 12. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." So here we go. When you get together, I want you to look around. I want you to pay attention to those in the group. I want you to consider whether or not someone in their group has a sinful and unbelieving heart. And some of you are like, I don't think so. It's fighting time, right? I mean, but this is what this first century author is saying to this first century church. Listen, listen, listen. If you're going to move forward, and you're going to move forward without having an unbelieving heart that turns away from God, you got to watch out for each other. Each other, as in brothers and sisters in Christ. Not those outside of brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but we're talking about the family of Christ here. You got to watch out for each other. I mean, you need to pay attention to each other. This little phrase, turn away from the living God, it implies this very slow process of someone making a choice that would eventually turn them away from God. My family in November, we went on a cruise, about 18 of us, and my mom, a lot of us, it was their first time, and we went out of Miami. And when the boat comes into port, the canal in Miami, it comes in towards the city, which there's obviously a dead end to the canal. And so, you know, those that have just came in are coming off, the rest of us are getting on, and the boat is still facing towards the city, the dead end of the canal. And so my family were up on the top, and I know it's going to happen because I've left out of mine before I get what's going to take place. We get in the boat eventually after so many hours pulls off the dock, and we start moving towards the city where there's no ocean. There's a city, and we're in a humongous boat, you know? And we're up on the top deck, and we're watching, and my dad's like, I'm really interested to see how they're going to turn this boat around. I said, you're going to love it. You know, my dad's a mechanic, works with his hands, all those kind of things. And so we get to the end of this canal. There's like this big, humongous opening. And they begin with that little rudder to turn that humongous boat slowly. I'm talking slowly. Right? And I get sick when things spin. I'm not sick at all. Barely can tell the boat's moving. If you didn't look at the horizon, you'd never know. I'm like, can we move? I paid for this trip. Come on now. Let's get to the Caribbean, you know? And so it slowly starts moving. And the author here is saying, listen, listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, pay attention to each other. Why? Because listen, there's potential for you to start making decisions that would lead you to slowly start turning in a direction that would lead you away from everything Christ has for you. I mean, are you hearing the implication? This first century author says, he says this, that we have the potential to have an unbelieving heart and slowly drift away from Christ. I have the potential. You have the potential. That's a big deal, right? I mean, that is a big deal. Listen, honestly, I'm not interested in that anybody would ever drift away from God. Drift, as in this happens slowly, like it's not a hurricane that comes through, that drifts away from God. And you've seen this and I see this, and I'm not interested that anybody at all would ever drift away from God. So it would make sense that I would write a sermon that says, we're not drifting, right? And then I would get up here and I would preach this compelling, passionate, persuasive message with 2 points. And those points being, listen, we need to have stronger commitments to Jesus. We need to have stronger commitments to Jesus. And we need to have stronger conviction of what's right and wrong. And I talked about strong commitment. I talked about deep conviction. And I went on and on and on, which would not be wrong for me to do. Nothing wrong with that at all. It would be okay. And at the end of that, I'd Pastor Paul come up here and do what he does so well. The band musicians here, let me just pause for a minute. You're absolutely awesome. Love you guys. And so I had the musicians come up and do their things. I love the fact that we play a banjo in church. Love that. And so love you, Caleb. And so all that kind of good stuff. And they came up and they did their thing, you know, and all kind of stuff. And all of a sudden people are coming down to the altars and we're getting Kleenexes out and Kleenexes happening. And everybody rededicates their life to Jesus. And you would leave this service, some of you would be like, that was weird. Others of you would say, wow, that was the most amazing thing I've ever been to. Right? Wow. As powerful, as motivating, as inspiring as all that would be, it's not enough. And I don't have to explain that to you. You get that. It's not enough. The commitment necessarily that you might understand when you're here on a Sunday morning, the conviction that you might receive sometimes when you're here on a Sunday morning, sometimes it's not enough when you get 30 days away from this place. It's not enough. Sometimes it's not enough when you get 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, away. Right? It's not enough. We do not commit, That'll be great for the video. We can do commitment on Sundays. We can do conviction on Sundays. We cannot do connection on Sundays. Can't do it. Oh, I'm connected. I know his name. Sure, do you know his story? Are you helping him make the decisions? Are you walking with him? Right? And for those of us in this room that have deep convictions, we get this. I mean, you get this. I mean, this is disciples making disciples. It's one person walking with one person. Right here we do one person walking with 150 people, which is a very important part of discipleship making. But listen, when Jesus left, he said this, I want you to make disciples of all nations. He's talking to you, not to just Pastor Jamie, not to just Pastor Sean. He's talking to you. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to baptize, right? I want you to go. I want you to baptize. I want you to teach. Listen, how are you going? Who have you baptized lately? Who are you teaching? This is what it means to be a disciple that makes disciples, right? But in American culture, we sometimes get confused with the fact that if we just come to a large group gathering, you know, serve a little bit, we're disciples making disciples, to which I would say to you, you're not. Disciples go, which we can go on. There's a going. This is a humongous going element, the weekends. And this is a great place to go. Bring people, great message, inspiring people to move closer to Jesus. Great kids' environments. And definitely Wednesday nights, Rural Rangers, Impact Girls, great go environments. But then who are you walking so closely with that when we do water baptism next weekend, you're the one in the tank baptizing them? And then after they're baptized, the reason why they get a firm foundation in Christ is because you're the one opening up the scriptures and walking them through. This is what it means to be disciples, making disciples. Hebrews chapter 3, 13a continues on this way. It says this, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Notice he doesn't say this, rededicate your life weekly. He doesn't say commit harder. He doesn't say have deeper convictions. He doesn't say shed more tears. He says, no, encourage each other daily. Listen, if we're going to get to the finish line, which don't confuse what I'm saying, we get to the finish line and we inherit heaven because of what Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ alone has done on the cross, salvation automatically free, 100%. I mean, this is why we inherit heaven, because we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we believe in that in faith. This is why, right? But then there's discipleship, moving forward, training, being one like, being more like Christ, all this kind of stuff. This is what takes work. This is what takes work. And so basically, making it to the finish line, being all that Christ wants you to be, we need to encourage one another daily. Listen. It's not spiritual. It's relational. It's coffee. It's consistency. It's phone calls. It's text messages. It's in this little word, Greek word, encourage. It doesn't mean, hey, how are you doing? It doesn't mean it's good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. It doesn't mean, man, you look great. Love that new do. It means to urge, to confront, to come alongside, to spur into action. I mean, this is what this author is implying, connecting relationships. I have my last week at work this week, Bowman Leadership Center, praise the Lord. And there's a guy that I met there. He'd been there before I got there, so I've known him for 2 years. That's how long I've been there. And his name is James. Big dude in his 60s, awesome guy, lives in North County. And I'm very interested about people's stories. And so I ask a lot of questions. And so James and I built off the front a really good relationship. And so I just asked him tons of questions. And I found out that he'd been free from alcohol for 20 some years, to which then I was like amazed, like, whoa. I mean, you grew up like in a culture of just alcohol. It was, you know, in your baby bottle. You know what I mean? Like, you were around it all the time. How did you beat this? And we talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And he obviously was connected to an organization that we're all familiar with, AA. And he said, Sean, you know, obviously I started going to church and there was some conviction. Like, I just felt like this was an area of my life that I needed to give to God. Which he's, you know, I'm like, that is incredible, dude. And then he said, you know, then I had to make a commitment. Like, I'm a commitment to my kids and to my spouse. And like, it was just really destroying, you know, my addiction was just destroying everything around me. And I wanted to be committed to that conviction. Like, I wanted to make sure this happened. He said, but the thing that, the commitment was great and the conviction was great, but the thing that made all the difference, Sean, was connection. He said, every single day, my sponsor called me. James, how you doing today? What happened? Where'd you go? Who'd you hang out with? How are you dealing with this alcohol thing? What's going on? He said, every single day for like the first year, I would go to a group, a circle, and we would just talk about our stories. Who we were with, who we were not with, how things are going. Now, I understand it doesn't work necessarily for everybody, but for James, it did. Right, and for 23 years of his life, now he's alcohol-free. And not only is he getting the phone calls, but he's making the phone calls. Now he's calling someone and saying, hey, dude, where you at? What are you doing? What's going on? Talk to me. Hey, connection is everything. And not just this like, hey, what's up? But asking the difficult questions. Asking the difficult questions. And we get this principle outside of church, right? But then when we bring this principle in the church, which it is a principle we find in Scripture, and we say to people, hey, we want you to get connected in a circle, and we want you to talk about your faith. Oh, no. I got a relationship with God just between me and him. That's it. Just him and I, we're good, right? Which is great until you read the Bible, right? Great until you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Doesn't work that way. We can't do this. We won't be successful in all that Christ wants us to have if we choose to live that way. Hebrews 3:13 continues on and says this, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It is possible to be deceived by sin's deceitfulness if we are just depending on our commitment and our conviction. How many of you guys have ever worked with like what you thought was like really, really, you don't have to raise your hands, all right? And so really, really just smart, intelligent, I mean, just like, man, this guy is sharp. This gal is sharp. You know, like, I don't ever seem to really make a bad decision. They're always making right decisions. Seems like life's always worked out for them. Like, man, just awesome, awesome, awesome. And you're in the office, you know, and you're doing your thing. And then all of a sudden, that guy or that gal comes running into the office, right? Smile on their face, positive energy. And you're thinking, man, something good has happened to this person. Like, can't wait to hear about it. They come up to you, and now they're there with you. And because of their environment, you've just embraced their environment. Now you have a smile on your face. You're all like, yeah, whoa. You know, like, you don't know why you have a smile on your face. You're not sure what's going on, but you know they're excited. So now you're excited, right? And they begin to tell you what they're about to do. I'm about to start this relationship. I'm about to buy this vehicle. I'm about to go to this place. I'm about to, hey, I want to tell you about this. You know, they begin to do this thing. And in your mind, you're thinking with a smile on your face, oh, this is not a good idea. Like, you're the smartest dude I know. Why, what are you doing? Like, this is not a good idea. No, dude, don't do it. Don't do it. It's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. Like, it's going to be bad for you. Don't do it. But instead, you're like, hey, yeah, that's great. Woo! You leave the office and you get your cell phone out and you pick the phone up and you're like, James, did I just talk to Johnny? Did you hear what just took place? Are you getting what he's going to do? Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. We have this whole conversation about the smartest guy that shouldn't be making this decision, and now he's making a decision. He's about to walk into a brick wall, and nobody has stopped him. Nobody has stood and said, hey, dude, whoa, 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 right? Because oftentimes bad decisions start with a little small udder, this big boat, turn just really slow. And we need people beside us, right, that are willing to come alongside of us and ask us the right questions. And we need to be able to submit ourselves to people, allow people to have access to our lives as we have access to their lives. The reason we've got to be connected relationally is because sin is deceitful. And before you know it, you're asking yourself, what happened? How did I get here? And then, you know, people that I talk to that get to that place, you know what they say to me? Where was the church? Why didn't anybody say anything? I had no clue what was going on. Right? We've got to engage in each other's lives. Hey, it's not enough to have deep conviction. You've got to have strong connection. It's not enough to have strong commitment. You've got to be connected. How many of you shop at the store REI? I'm going to close up with this. Well, I'm not actually. More than REI? Not a lot of you? Okay, sweet. They're cool. Love that store, right? And so I use a little phrase a little bit different, but how many of you are like familiar with Billy Graham? Anybody know Billy Graham? Yeah, yeah, sure. Absolutely love the guy. Was at one of his last crusades, St. Louis, gave my life to Jesus, walked down. Not really, but like I felt like it was just good. It was good for me. It was great. And so anyways, and so good stuff. There we go. And so this is kind of like old school, not old school, but this is kind of how things used to work, right? Bear with me here. How things used to work. We used to like just invite people to come get instruction. Hey, come with me to church, get instruction, right? And then we're going to give you an environment. Like, how about serving in kids' church? And then we're going to start a relationship. And then we start talking about some serious stuff, which there's nothing wrong with that. And it's worked for years. Right? A lot of people have gotten saved with this kind of structure, instruction, environment, and relationship. And now what we're seeing that is so much more successful is actually, which this makes sense, relationship, environment, and instruction. And if you talk to anybody in this room that's 20 years and older, they'll say, amen, Pastor Sean. Right? That we might be willing, right, to have a circle at our house and invite somebody from our community. Right? Even though this is a great first step for people. Sunday morning here, great first step for people. So I'm not saying that. But come to our house that has a relationship with us already. Cut lawn together, take our trash out at the same time, understand each other's jobs. We invite them to come over to our house because we have a relationship. And we invite them to this environment. We have other Christians hanging out. We're talking about life, having meals together, talking about this game and that game, maybe watching this, watching that. And then we say, hey, let's talk about the Bible. I mean, what do you think happens when somebody has relationship and then they are in an environment? I feel good now. And then they're given some instruction about the Bible. How well do you think they receive the Word of God? Very well. Very well. Hey, listen, small groups for LCC is the church scattered. And we need the church to be scattered. We can't do just right here. Acts 2, and I'm almost done, but I got to share this with you real quick, okay? Go with there, Acts 2 with me real quick, and Acts 2:40, and I'm closing up. Backstory, Jesus has already been crucified, been buried on the third day, come back to life, appeared to over 500 eyewitnesses, then ascended back up into heaven. The disciples went and spent some time in prayer. They got empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then the apostle Peter steps up out in faith, and he preaches a sermon. And this is the very end of the message. It says this, and I think this, and the reason why I share this is because I think it applies so well to where we are specifically as a church, okay? And I think it's a call for us to do what we see done in the first century church. Acts 2:40 and 41 reads this way. With many words, we warned them under the sermon, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, unbelievable, 3,000 people. I mean, that's humongous. On day one, 3,000 people. Now let's move just two chapters, all right? Acts 4:4, but many who heard this message believed. So the number of men, which we're shooting low here, who believed grew to 5,000. Two chapters later, this church is growing rapidly. Anybody in a church right now currently that's grown pretty fast? Anybody? Yeah, that would be us. I would say that's true, right? Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says this. So the word of God spread and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, which I pray continues to happen here at Life Community Church. Let me go back to verse 40. Let me start at the end of his message. With many other words, he warned them. And he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Listen to what they do after all of these people get saved. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to what we call here at Life Community Church, life groups. They got together in circles. And they talked about what they just heard their pastor preach. They talked about how it applies to their lives. They talked about how they're actually going to walk that out at work. They encouraged each other. They asked each other questions. You have a question about this? You have a question about that? Well, I kind of saw it this way. Well, I kind of saw it that way. They had fellowship. They just enjoyed each other. And barbecued. We went to a soccer game together. Watched a movie together and broke bread, celebrated everything that Christ is doing in their lives. Hey, listen, we need to be the church scattered. And if we desire, and great principle here, Pastor Paul, if you don't mind coming on up. If we expect the church to continue to move forward as in rapid growth, like we see in the New Testament church, we cannot do that outside of life groups. Won't happen. Won't happen. Not that our motivation is, man, we want to have the largest church on this side of St. Louis. That's not our motivation at all. Our motivation is we want everybody to know the love of Jesus Christ and lean into him. I mean, this is our motivation. And if that is our motivation, we cannot do that outside of life groups. It won't work. It will not work. So, what's next? And that's why I've been hired. What's next? And you'll hear me say that all the time. What's next? What's beyond Sunday? What's next? Because what's next benefits and takes you to a whole nother level. What's next? If you're brand new here this morning, or if you knew like in the last couple weeks, last couple months, the first thing we want you to do is go to a Who We Are lunch. Just kind of let you know who Pastor Jamie is, who Kelly is, who the staff is, what the church is all about, how it started, like you heard a little bit this morning, who we are, how we've been connected, how God has brought us from point A to point B, all these things. If you're new here, the first thing you need to do is go to Who We Are lunch. If you are like a returner or a seeker, as in like you've been in church for a long time, but you're like, I'm kind of coming back, kind of sketchy, not really sure, which is totally fine. We love that. Or you're like, man, just you're new to faith, right? Brand new to faith. And what I've learned a lot of times is there's people that are like been in the church for 10, 15 years, and they would consider themselves to be 10 years old because they've been in church 10 years, 10 years old as a Christian or 15 years old as a Christian. And oftentimes, no offense, they're like a year old, right? Still like, and that's okay. Listen, if you've never really sat around a circle and talked about your faith, starting point, great place to do that. Starting point is for people who are curious about God, that have new relationship with Jesus Christ, or returners to the church, or whatever it might be. And these happen on Wednesday nights. They're only like 8 weeks long. They're going to happen all year long. Starting point, right? And so after Who We Are lunch, go to starting point. You can talk to me about that. Talk to Mary about that. We want to get you plugged in to starting point. Great place to start. That's why we call it starting point. Beyond that, we do life groups. And let me say this. It's the backbone of our church. And your pastor already has told you that this morning. 5 years ago yesterday, 9 people. They didn't gather in rows. Now, they only had 9 too, for sure, you know. But they gathered in a circle. A deep relationship. And it's why still today people walk into this church and they say, Pastor Jamie, this feels like home. Because family's always been a core value and always will be a core value. And we want you to be a part of the family. And to do that, you got to get in a circle. You got to get beyond rows. And so we do 2 types of groups really here. We call them like semester groups. They're more like specific topics. They happen, we call them semester because they happen before Christmas and after Christmas, spring and fall. They go anywhere from 8 to 14 weeks, and they're about any kind of topics. We've got, being offended about certain things, about mother-daughter stuff, about man stuff, about divorce stuff, about job stuff, whatever it is. I mean, we've got all kinds of different topics we'd love for you to jump into. And this is a great place. If you've never been in a community group or small group, great place. Small commitment, 8 to 14 weeks, great place for you to be in. Great place. Eventually, all of you, I want to be in a life group. Because we're family. And we want to hold each other up all the time. And we want to make sure that everybody that's attempting to sit on that stool that has 3 legs, that they're not standing just on connection, that they're not standing just on commitment, and they're not standing just on, help me out here, I'm missing the 3rd one, conviction. Good job, you listen. We want all 3 of those components to be there. And so we want you to get involved. The semester group, which are launching in February. When you walk in next weekend, you'll be given a piece of paper that has a list of all of those groups. Next weekend, there'll be stuff out here where you can sign up for those groups. You can also sign up online for all of those groups starting next weekend. So the next 2 weekends will be sign up. And then in the middle of February, February 17th, which is a Wednesday, all of those groups will launch. Community groups, we'll be talking about that as we get further into the future, but they're 12 to 18 months because we're family. And we stick together. And they meet for 12 to 18 months, and then they multiply and start another group. It's the church scattered, 10 to 20 people, focusing on fellowship, gospel, and mission. When I started, when Pastor Jamie told me I was going to speak, and then he told me that I was going to be full-time, I was like, no pressure. Dude, man, I didn't know I was going to be full-time when he asked me to speak. And there was a song that the Lord had laid on my heart. And when I'm writing, there's a lot of different music that I'll listen to and pay attention to. But I think it's so fitting, and I would so encourage every single one of you when you get home to get out your whatever product you have and download it to however you download it. But I think it fits so well. The title of the song is You Can Lead Me. You can lean on me. Sorry, you can lean on me. And it's by consumed by fire. And it says this, and I think it fits so well and explains to who we are. I think it fits us well. It says this, brothers and sisters, when you don't have the words to explain the hurt, you can lean on me. When you are fighting for surviving, lean on me. Listen, when you don't have a home, hey, we got people coming in every weekend that say, Pastor Jamie, wow, this feels like home. There's a lot of people that we work with. There's a lot of people in our communities. They don't have a home. Brothers and sisters, when you don't have the words to explain the hurt, you can lean on me. When you are fighting for surviving, lean on me. When you don't have a home, you can lean on me. Hey, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, this community, they ought to know that they can follow us because we follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? Come follow me. Come follow me. And you'll find and follow Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning, the opportunity you've given us to be together. God, the body of Christ, there is nothing greater to be a part of than the body of Christ. A committed group of people that are willing to stick together through all things, in everything. And God, I know that all of us have made, we've sat in many services and sensed conviction, which we don't like to use that word, but that's what it is. It's conviction. And we come out of that conviction, out of that service, and we think to ourselves, I got to get committed. I got to get involved. I got to be somewhere. I got to say something. I got to repent. I got to give my life to Jesus. We get committed. But then 30 days down the road, Lord, sometimes it seems like that conviction, that commitment, it just doesn't work. And I know that, and God, I know that people in this environment this morning, they know that as well. So God, let us consider today, what if we got connected? What could this church look like, God, if we did as the first century church did, got connected? God, they started with 3,000, and now we're a product of that 3,000. So God, I pray that we wouldn't be just a location here at West Bottom, but we'd be the church scattered in our homes, our neighborhoods. That we would get connected, that we would sign up in a group. So next Wednesday, if you're interested in being a leader and you're like, I've never been a leader, that's okay. But I need a lot more leaders because I need a lot more groups. So next Wednesday, we're meeting here at 6:30 downstairs. There's applications in the back. They're just not applications. They're just information. Myself and Mary and Joanne will be back there. We can answer any of your questions. But I need some people to step up today and say, I want to be a leader. You're like, I don't know what I'll teach. I don't even know what group, what I'll have conversation about. We'll help you with that. Don't worry about it. We've got tons of stuff. Take an application. Say, you know what, I'm willing, and I'm going to come to the meeting on Wednesday and get more information.